Criminal Defense Company.
Hi, is Ken in?
He is actually out on an appointment. Can I take a message and have him give you a call back?
Yeah, sure, that'll work.
Okay, your name?
Nico, that's N-I-K-O.
Okay.
And I'm calling from the Bank of Cardiff, and that's spelled C-A-R-D-I-F-F, as in Frank. So it's like car and then different. And my direct line's 858-779-0432. So 858-779-0432. And I'm actually calling. I'm trying to follow up here with Ken. I was actually in contact with the business earlier in the year about some of the programs that we had to offer. And I wanted to, I was told to follow up more along the lines of the end of the year, so I kind of wanted to reintroduce myself, see if Ken had anything coming up where we can help out in regards to equipment financing or working capital.
Okay, yeah, I will, Nico, I'll give him the message as soon as he gets back in.
Yeah, does he happen to have a good email address that he checks while he's out on the job?
Yeah, Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y, at SeminoleFence.com.
Kenny. Yeah, okay, cool. How's business been for you guys this year since I last was in contact?
Pretty good.
Do you guys normally start to pick up towards the end of the year? Are you guys seasonal-ish?
Yeah, the last quarter picks up. We only have like 2 months slow season, month and a half, and that's like latter part of January and then February, and then it picks back up as soon as spring rolls around and we go full force the rest of the year.
Is there a reason why it kind of slows down?
Well, you know, Florida, a lot of snowbirds come, and then in the industry that we're in, because we do a lot of agricultural fencing, like farm fencing,
right?
And which you would think would be opposite, but in the winter time, depending on what breed of horses you're in or whatever, there's a lot of they have a lot of sales across the country, like California, Kentucky, South Florida, Maryland, and that's your thoroughbred industry, and so they do a lot of sales that time of year. So they're more focused on that versus working on their farms. And then with, like, say, hunters, jumpers, dressage horses, you know, the fancy schmancy horses.
Right.
They have their horse shows are always that time of year. So they don't tend to, you know, once they get back and get settled, then they start doing stuff. And then, you know, so, but then I get hit really bad last quarter because people, a lot of these big, large horse farms, and their industry have budgets for the years because, you know, they're coming.
Yeah, they want to fill out those budgets, so they just start making orders like crazy, right?
Yeah, and they want to spend money before the end of the year for write-offs and so on and so forth. A lot of time feeds over into January because then they get their new budgets and they want to go ahead and spend a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But then when February, March roll around, but then once middle of March, and then spring comes around and then everybody's like, hey, you want to work outside? So, you know, yeah. We get stuff done.
It's
a hit or miss.
Yeah, and I can imagine that's why Ken was telling me to maybe follow up along the lines of the end of the year, probably because you guys pick up. Do you happen to know, does he have any, like, plans or projects that would require your financing? Because
not currently. We're pretty good right now on that, but, you know, maybe he wants to talk to you. So.
Right, yeah. Do you guys typically have, like, a local bank that you guys lean on?
What we do is our own cash flow, and we have taken out some, you know, little loans, you know, with some, I guess, maybe very similar to you, what you do. But most time we just work on cash flow because we get large deposits on these large jobs, because some of these fencing jobs can be anywhere to the tune of $50,000 to $100,000.
Wow, those are pretty big. How many jobs do you guys on average get a year?
Oh, God, I have 30-some jobs on the books right now.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, not all of them are to that extent, but, like, you know, we just finished one that was a almost $80,000 job, you know, and then I have another one that's about a $30,000 job. So it just varies depending on the amount of footage and the type of fence they want. Because we build miles of fence, you know, like horse fence.
Right. Oh, yeah. What type of, I guess I could ask, like, what type of materials do you guys typically use? Are these just wood fences, barbed wire fences?
Yeah, wood, barbed wire. Sometimes a lot of the people like a non-climb wire, which is like a meshed wire along with boards and wood posts. But everything's wood, and we bring in semi-loads of lumber.
Okay, yeah, so I can imagine those cost a pretty penny sometimes. You sound pretty familiar with the inner workings of like the finances of the business. Do you help with that?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, you definitely sounded like you help them out with that. Yeah, no, I was just you know, touching base and seeing if there's anything more along the lines of the end of the year where we could possibly help out. If you guys needed that extra cash and you don't want to use your own cash flow, you want to leverage your position so you have some extra cash in your accounts, things of that nature. Or if, do you guys typically use equipment too? Like, do you guys have trucks or anything to transport your...
Yeah, we have multiple company trucks. We have certain trucks that just haul equipment, and then we have trucks that haul material out to job sites. And then we actually have equipment on job sites.
We don't also just do the capital financing. We have our equipment financing program too. And if Ken was looking to possibly bring on new equipment for those write-offs towards the end of the year here to, you know, take advantage of some of section 179, that's something we could possibly help out with. You guys typically bring on equipment towards the end of the year, or do you kind of focus on the busy time where, I guess, when that happens, you just bring it on as an as-needed basis?
Yeah, well, we have three backhoes, you know, big, large backhoes, and they have hydraulic fence post pounders on the side of them.
Right.
So we run three of those every day of the week. You know, I mean, they're constantly, they don't set at our office. They move from job to job.
Those can put some hours on that then, huh?
Yeah, I have one that's kind of old, so, you know, it could use either a new one or to be retired, but, but yeah, I mean, he's the equipment guy. I don't know as much, I just know how many we have, I don't even know what, I know their name brand, that's about it, but he's the equipment guy, and then we have forklifts in our yard,
mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of equipment, and we are growing, but, it's one of those things on equipment. If anything, right now, it would be equipment that we would need more so than any capital. So, but when he gets back in, I'll have him give you a call.
Yeah, why don't we do that? So, you said his email. I can just shoot him over a message right now just to let him know I called. And then if you don't mind giving him the message, too, I'd appreciate that. But do you think he's going to be in later today? Maybe I can call back.
Well,
or if I don't hear from him, I can follow up.
I'll be honest with you. He, I do the sales and bookkeeping and all that good stuff. I mean, he's mm-hmm. we own the business together. Kenny's my husband. But he kind of runs the crew. So he's out on job sites all the time, talking with the customers as the jobs are going on. That's his thing, making sure they get done properly, stays in contact with the customer while they're on site. If there's any crews need something quickly, he's always in and out, and he's kind of hard to catch. So that's why I answer the phone, get messages, or email him. That's your best bet. Email and then I'll leave him a message.
I got a question here. How does the husband and wife dynamic work out for the business? You guys,
we do good. Yeah, we very rarely see each other throughout the day, which is really odd, but that's because we're so busy, and he's going one way and I'm going the other.
And that's not a bad thing, right?
No, if we had to sit and look at each other all day, we'd probably kill each other. So we do good. We do pretty good. We both know what our duties are, and it works out pretty good. So
are you guys split 50-50 for the ownership then?
Yeah, we're 50-50.
That's awesome. All right, and we've been talking about Ken the entire time, but I completely forgot your name from the beginning. Kelly. All right, Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna email him, and then if you don't mind, just letting him know I called. I appreciate it. And do you think there's a better time that you probably like me to follow up and see if I can get a hold of him if I don't hear back?
I don't know where you are. Are you
We're over here on the West Coast. In San Diego.
Okay, so you're 3 hours behind me.
Yes.
So, because your best time to get him is early in the morning here, but you're still sleeping at that time.
we're only in here around 6:30, which is around 9:30 your guys' time.
Yeah, so that time or...
later in the afternoon.
Which would be, say, 4 o'clock our time.
Okay.
Which would be, what would that be, 1 o'clock your time?
Yeah, 1 o'clock over here.
And yeah, in the middle of the day, it's either first thing in the morning or late in the afternoon is the best time to get him in the office.
Okay. And, you know, if he's really good at checking emails, there's
a
possibility.
Yeah, he has it on his
phone. Oh, yeah, there's a possibility that we could probably just communicate over that way if that's more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Absolutely.
Kelly.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Right.
Thank
you. I appreciate it. Yeah, take care, okay? I'll follow up with you guys if I don't hear back from him.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.